This is Women Blazers, and I'm your host, Deanna Witter. I'm excited to have Erica Swilly as our featured guest for episode 33. Erica serves as the Vice President of Community and Social Responsibility for the Detroit Pistons. Erica shares her career path, which has been a journey of serving communities and making an impact in the lives of others through the power of sports. Never settling, never stopping, just focused to create a life of purpose by leading a life of service. I want to take a moment to thank Turnkey ZRG for supporting Women Blazers. Turnkey ZRG is a top talent search firm in sports, entertainment, and media. We appreciate Turnkey's role in advancing gender equity in our industry. Well, Erica, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for joining us on Women Blazers and being a guest and all the work and incredible work you do in Detroit and, of course, across the league and every market that you've been in.
Thank you. I appreciate being on the show, and thank you for being an inspiration to so many women. Following your career throughout the years has been awesome to follow.
So, Erica, you attended the University of Missouri-Columbia and received your degree in communications, marketing, and sociology. What was the vision that you had for your career while in college?
Yeah, very interesting. I actually selected the University of Missouri-Columbia because it is one of the top-rated journalism schools. And that's kind of how I applied to school, was looking at programs that had strong journalism programs there, because that's what I thought I wanted to major in. And so for a long time, I thought I would, you know, go into magazine or newspaper writing. And then when I got there and started taking a few classes, I realized that, you know, I didn't see that as my long-term career. And so kind of pivoted, I thought I would then go into like a public relations role. And so settled on communications and marketing as kind of my major, and didn't really know exactly where that was going to take me, and did not have community on my radar. It's what I currently do in terms of, you know, marketing the team and the players off the court. So it all worked out in the end.
It generally usually does, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I feel like most people change their majors at some point. So
yeah, it's very often, you know, in these conversations that I'm having, you know, it's very rare that either the degree you get or the original vision for your path, you know, shifts somewhere in college for various reasons. For you, was there an experience that happened when you were exploring journalism that you thought, okay, this isn't for me, after you explored that while in college?
So I just think the thought of having to meet deadlines and sitting and having to write nonstop wasn't as appealing to me as I thought it might be. And I'm definitely more of an outgoing person that, you know, didn't want to just have your, you know, traditional, you know, sit at a desk role. And I know in journalism, you know, that's not the case always, but I had to pick a track, whether it was magazine, newspaper, broadcast, or advertising. Mm-hmm. And really none of those appealed to me. Yeah, I think that was kind of the turning point, was, you know, I kind of want a job where I can be hands-on and make an impact.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And the deadlines, I don't even think about that component of that career path, you know, like you have to get this in by this time if you want to make publication, right?
Exactly.
When I went to school at first, my first thought was athletic training. And because I wanted to be still a part of the team. And that was like my path into sports was athletic training. And there was this moment where I did a job shadow and I think it was the athletic trainers that were of the women's soccer team, which was the, you know, the sport I wanted to play in college. And I remember just thinking like what torture it would be to sit on the bench and watching somebody else like be on the field. I thought it was going to be complete torture. And I couldn't live my life watching somebody else do what I wanted to do, or I wish I had talent to do, you know? And so
watching your dreams play out, through someone else. Yes.
Right. And then I think khakis, you know, wearing khakis every day and,
and fanny packs wasn't going to be my role either.
That's fair.
So post-college, you know, what was that post-college experience for you of landing your first job, and what did you explore upon graduation, and what were those takeaways from the beginning days of those career moments?
Yeah, so I was actually really fortunate, dating back to when I was in high school. My next door neighbor was the director of marketing for a popular radio station in Chicago. And I always thought her job was very interesting and sounded very cool. So for a long time, she allowed me to like volunteer and come along to different community events like the Taste of Chicago and the Women's Black Expo, and just learn about, you know, her role. And through that, I met a ton of people and was able to get some really cool internships. And through my internships and networking, that's college. And it was a very unique role. I worked for a marketing company out of Chicago, and our client was Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus in Disney. So I know it's, you know, not your traditional marketing job, but I learned a ton. There was 8 cities that I was in charge of, where I had to kind of lead the marketing and community initiatives in what they deemed the urban markets in those cities. So I got to do a lot of traveling, which was pretty cool coming right out of college. And again, got to meet some interesting people. And I always say that, you know, I went from one circus to the next when I left and, you know, kind of transitioned into the MBA. But it really helped prepare me for my job that I'm currently in. So it was interesting. It was definitely a hustle and a grind. But that's exactly what working in sports is. So,
you know, going into each market would definitely be a great learning experience as you transition into sports, which you did in 2005, right? You get your first sports career break-in moment with the Pistons. And you were the assistant director of community relations when you went there. You know, how did you land this opportunity, and what did you love most about those beginning days with the Pistons?
Yeah, so I always hate when I tell people that I never, you know, dreamed of working in sports or didn't even really know it was a possibility. But in all of my internships and previous roles, you know, what I did learn is that I really enjoyed kind of that event planning and community aspect. And so when I saw the position open for the Pistons, it was kind of like, wow, this is everything that I love to do in one role. And then having the Pistons and the NBA as a platform to do it on was, you know, very appealing to me. And so was very excited. I have to say that I got a job. When I first started, I was an assistant in the department. I kind of worked my way up. So I went from an assistant to a coordinator, to a manager, then to the assistant director.
Wow. What was your approach to growing in that role?
Yeah, I mean, my approach was just kind of, you know, coming in and being a sponge and learning as much as I could. And I always say that, like, you know, even though I was an assistant, I was looking at what the coordinator was doing and seeing how I could assist them. And mm-hmm. I didn't pigeonhole myself into whatever, you know, title or role that I was kind of given. I always tried to do above and beyond that. And like I said, learn as much as I could to continue to grow.
That's great. And during your time there, you got there just after they'd won the championship, right? In 04?
Just after, yes.
Yeah, just after.
I started in 05. After the championship and after the Malice in the Palace.
The infamous, now on Netflix. So what did you love most about your experience there in this role? And you know, what were some of those big takeaways?
Yeah, I mean, I just learned so much on how, you know, kind of a sports team ran from behind the scenes. And like I said, I really didn't know a ton about working, you know, for an NBA team. And so kind of to learn those in and outs and how it kind of functions as a normal business. It's just that you have a unique product. Was very interesting. And then also when I was here too, my first time at the Pistons, we had the WNBA Detroit Shock as well. So being able to work women's and men's and also see some of those, you know, differences and gaps was very eye-opening, I should say.
Yeah, I bet. And speaking of the WNBA, you know, after your 5 years with the Pistons, you take a move and you go back to Chicago and you join the Chicago Sky as their director, right, of community relations and the president of the Sky Cares Foundation. What motivated this move for you?
Yeah, well, a few things motivated that move. One, it was an opportunity for me to grow in my career. I was an assistant director at the time at the Pistons, so this was a step up. Also, because I had worked WNBA, like, there was something in me that, you know, wanted to see how I could help grow the women's game. I loved working on the W side, and I learned a ton. And then I was also able to go back to where I was from and, you know, do some community initiatives there as well. So I always say I probably wouldn't be where I am today if I had not worked in the WNBA. I mean, it's a great learning experience to kind of learn the business, you know, from the top down and all the different roles. Because even though I oversaw CSR, there was nights that I would be, you know, working game operations or helping PR or, you know, working with the sales team. So just being able to see how CSR kind of weaves through all the different departments, I probably learned the most when I was working for the W.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I think I was at Teambo when you were at the Sky. So they were my teams. And so I got to see you in action a few times, which was awesome. But yeah, you know, I agree. I think the W is a very respected powerhouse of a league. And there's just such a great opportunity to learn and grow at the W, because you are able to touch a number of areas of the business, unlike some of our other professional counterpart leagues as well. So it's clear that, you know, that experience for you really helped accelerate your growth.
You learn how to, you know, do more with less resources, which is very
very, very true. In addition to that, did you have it, like, what was your biggest takeaway from the Sky that you took on with you, you know, today as you talk about that?
Yeah, I learned a ton working for the Sky and the W. And, you know, women's sports is pretty special. And they still have, you know, a long way to go in terms of growing, you know, their audience. And would love to see more people kind of get behind women's sports as a whole. But I mean, my takeaway there is from working in WNBA probably was it's a different grind, but you know, I don't think people should discount working, you know, in women's sports, because like I said, I wouldn't have gotten to where I was without being there.
For sure. Well, that's a great takeaway. And I appreciate you sharing that. In 2014, you actually leave the Sky and you take this opportunity with the Golden State Warriors as the manager of community relations. You know, so, you know, obviously your time at the Sky, you grow, you develop, you learn a lot. Now you're able to take that back to another market across the country. Big move for you. So what inspired that move? And what was the experience like being with the team when they were like, they had won that first championship and they went on their big run and really just crushed my dreams while I was at the Cavs.
Well, then you guys came back and crushed ours the following year. So
yes. But you guys had a nice run on us. That's for sure.
Yes. No, I mean, I'm always looking, not always looking, but I mean, at that time in my career, I was always looking for, you know, what that next challenge was going to be. And I felt like at the Sky, I kind of had, you know, reached the top of my potential there. And so being able to go out to the Bay, to a market, which I had never lived, and kind of help with their community initiatives was very appealing to me. And it was amazing. I got in at the right time. So the year I started was the year that, you know, they started winning all of their championships. And being at the height of that was, you know, pretty cool.
That is cool. And it's a great experience. You know, it's not often that you get to be a part of sort of a championship, you know, winning team. And, you know, the first time you were at the Pistons, you were a part of, you know, a team that had just won the championship, and you got to see the benefits of that and how it impacts the community now in Golden State in that experience. But something you said I thought was really interesting, and I think you've said it a couple times now, is you're looking for this next challenge. And what is it about, what do you seek out in challenges that attract you to that next sort of move?
Yeah, when I look at different challenges, I'm looking at what's going to push me not only, you know, professionally, but personally as well. You know, when I move to a different city where I don't know anybody, I'm pushing myself in that area. And it just allows me to grow on a different level. And, you know, learning about the different communities and cities and kind of their needs has helped me grow in my career too. Because for me, it's all about, you know, figuring out the community I'm working in, what that need is, and how we can, you know, make an impact. And so being able to work in different communities and seeing those needs definitely helps propel me and think outside of the box.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And you know, I think, you know, there's these things where people, you know, find themselves in a place where they want to get comfortable. And imagine what you can, how you can grow as a person when you seek out not comfort, but challenge. And, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things that's interesting that we a lot of these conversations I have with my guests, you know, there's a theme of this challenge, and they don't want to get comfortable. They don't want to be complacent. They want to continue to challenge themselves, both personally and professionally. It's a strong element.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I growth is at, you know, is when you are, you know, when there's discomfort is when you grow the most.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So after 2 years with the Warriors, your path takes you full circle back to Detroit, where you're named the Senior Director of Community and Social Responsibility with the Pistons. And now you serve as the vice president of that area of the business and that vertical. You know, tell me about this move. And for our listeners, can you share the importance of defining the work of social responsibility outside of community?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it was interesting. I was not looking to go anywhere. I was, you know, happy where I was, happy living in the Bay. And I got a call about a positioning opening up with the Pistons for their head of CSR. And I was like, I'll listen, but you know, I'm here in the Bay. I just moved here. We're winning championships. Life's pretty good. but I took a trip back to Detroit to, you know, speak to their new leadership team, because it was interesting. It was a different owner from when I worked there the first time. And so kind of getting to, you know, learn and know how the organization changed. But when I took my trip back here, it hit me like, you know, the city of Detroit, there's so much opportunity here. They're at the height of a revitalization. The team was going to be making a move from Auburn Hills down to Detroit. And to be a part of that was very intriguing to me. And so I always tell people, like, yes, the Warriors were winning championships and it was an amazing organization to work for, but I can't focus on what's happening on court. That does not impact my career. It's not like I'm in sales and, you know, if we're winning, we're selling more tickets. Yes, winning makes everything better. But in terms of the community, it's where can I make the biggest impact? And at that time, I felt going back to Detroit was a full circle moment, and one where I had an opportunity to really make a significant impact with the team and within the community. And so that is really what kind of drove and propelled me to come back this way.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, being from Michigan, I definitely connect with, you know, that sentiment and how you felt about this draw of being in Detroit, especially during that move downtown. The impact that you can make in the position that you have is significant. And the fact that you are connected to that just really proves your passion for your role and for your craft and what you can do to serve others through the power of sports. It's a beautiful thing. It really is.
Thank you. Absolutely. You could not have said it better.
Just expanding on that, you know, social responsibility versus community. What does it mean, you know, to have it defined outside of just, you know, built into the word community when you think about social responsibility?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all have a responsibility to leave this earth better than what we found it. And so being able to, you know, say, hey, the Pistons, you know, have this responsibility, you know, to give back to the community in which they play, is, you know, huge. Like, we have to understand, you know, what our kind of, you know, role and purpose is, and then figure out how we can impact those around us is really what it comes down to.
And just thinking back on your career path, you know, you've had a lot of upward moves, going from team to team, city to city. And we kind of touched on a little bit earlier about, you know, sort of seeking out these challenges, but how do you determine that it's time to make this move and that that move is the right move for you?
Yeah. I mean, it's really based kind of, you know, on the opportunity and where I am in my life. And it's kind of that gut feeling, you know, that, okay, it's time, you know, to accept this new challenge. It's time to see what else I can, you know, bring to the table. And it's not always, you know, clear cut. But it's just, it is really more of a gut feeling in terms of, you know, I'm ready to accept, you know, kind of what this new challenge is going to look like.
Yeah. It's one of the, it's a funny thing too, because my last episode, we talked about, you know, following your instincts, and which is, you know, another way of saying your gut feeling, and you can't help like to just know that you are meant to be in a different place, for multiple reasons, probably multiple layers, or that your time at a place has come to a conclusion, that you got, you invested into to that location or that place or that position. And that, you know, vice versa, they invested back into you, and that you're ready to take that, you know, and take it somewhere else. It seems it's probably more complex than how I just rolled it out. But that's why, you know, we can sort of go back to your instincts and that gut feeling. You just know when you know.
Right. And you have to do what's best for you at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And I think people always, you know, worry about like, well, it's not the right time to leave, or we're in mid season, or I'm going to wait to the end of the season. And I mean, there's never a right time. And so you really have to do what's best for you, and your career at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's true. And I imagine like in a community role, like your relationships and the people you're connected with, the people that you're serving, it probably makes it that much harder to allow your gut feeling to seep in and allow you to direct sort of that path when you have these commitments as well, right? Do you feel that conflict sometimes in those decisions?
Absolutely. And I mean, I still have contacts and connections from every place that I've been. Mm-hmm. And I always say, you know, just because I'm leaving doesn't mean that I'm just going to, you know, leave my, you know, commitment, or I'm still willing to help how I can, even from afar if need be.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And you have to almost like tell yourself, and you have to be committed to those components as well to make it, you know, make you feel good about, you know, the move you're going to make as well. So that makes sense completely. So what are some of those key challenges that you faced growing professionally, and, you know, how did you overcome them when you faced them?
Yeah, I would say some key challenges early on was trying to really figure out that balance, and you're never going to find a balance, but between like personal versus professional and kind of what that looks like. I think early on in my career, I didn't see a lot of women in high positions that had families, like had it all type of thing, you know? And I think that has definitely changed. I mean, even even when you sing you and when you had your twins, mm-hmm. And how you were able to handle that is inspiring. And I think for a long time, I didn't see that. And so seeing that, you know, kind of like, can you have it all? You know what I'm saying? You know, can I have this career? Can I have, you know, a family? What does, you know, professional versus personal kind of, you know, look like? And being able to navigate that and kind of, which I would say more back in the day was more of a male dominated And then in terms of overcoming it, it's just like I said, you have to kind of do what's best for you in figuring out, you know, what's important and what it is you want and, you know, making it kind of all work for you.
Yeah, no, that is the challenge for sure. And it's that situation where you almost just have to step into your lifestyle. And, you know, I think that's a great transition. I talk about this in every episode about your lifestyle and, you know, knowing that you have to structure, you know, the professional and the personal and where those things intersect, where they overlap, so that it all works for you and for the people in your life. And obviously in the community relations world, you have a significant commitment. You know, you're at games, you're at events, you're working beyond, you know, some of your counterparts, which can be a challenge, of course. But mostly it's a commitment that you've made to the community on behalf of the team that you work for. So beyond work, you know, what do you enjoy to do outside of work, and how do you structure and manage your lifestyle so that it does work for you?
Yeah, no, it's definitely been interesting, but I would say that like the career that I've chosen is a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Like I have chosen to serve and give back, and it's what I truly enjoy and love to do. And so working long hours or working events, you know, I get that instant gratification when we see things, you know, come together or we see how we impact those in the community. And so having that kind of passion and drive, you know what I'm saying, makes it seem like it's not work for me. And what I truly enjoy doing, but then also I have to find, you know, that balance as well. I have an amazing team. And so I don't have to be at every event. I don't have to be at every game. And empowering those around me and helping them grow is a big part of what it means to kind of be that leader as well. I mean, I love to travel. So being able to, you know, get out of town is what I look forward to the most. And being able to spend time with, you know, family and friends and investing in those relationships is, you know, something that I definitely make time for. I always reference this article that I read a few years ago that really kind of struck a chord with me. It is by Arianna Huffington, and it's called Are You Living Your Resume or Your Eulogy? And basically, you know, it was so true. The article basically references, you know, we're so quick to put so much into what our resume looks like. But at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, you know, that's not what people are going to focus on when they eulogize you. It's going to be how you treat people and, you know, how, you know, and your relationships with others. And so that's kind of what I focus. I love what I do. I love my job. But at the end of the day, it, you know, doesn't define me. And it's bigger than that.
Yes, I love that. I'm going to look that article up so you have this, or send it to me. I mean, it sounds incredible, and you're absolutely right. And I think that's an interesting thing that you bring up, because often when you look at moves, right, and careers and career opportunities with people, everybody's focused on title. And it's like, it's not about the title. It's about the opportunity to be in a position to make a difference or make an impact. And the title comes along with it, but that's not the focus. Maybe it is for somebody. I'm not saying it's not, but in general, when you look at these moves and look at these opportunities that you have to make a difference, make an impact in different markets, different teams with different people, you know, ultimately, yeah, what's your driving purpose there? And you've clearly found yours. I know I found mine. I'm sure there's a number of people that are listening that might be searching for this, already know it as well, and they're feeling very connected with what you just said, as I am as well. So thank you for sharing that. That's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
So keeping on this theme of like looking back on your career, you know, what has been the most memorable experience to date for you? I mean, I can't imagine there's one, but like if you had one or two that you would highlight, what would those be?
Yeah, I was going to say, I've definitely had a lot of memorable. The championships are always nice. You know, I won two with the Detroit Shock as well. Mm-hmm. And then the Warriors, as you know, you've won a few as well. Indescribable moments, right?
Yes. Surreal. They're really surreal. Yes. It's hard to call it a memory because you're like, I don't remember much than the fact that it was surreal.
Exactly. Very surreal. But I think it's those small moments, you know, that we have when we're doing events, you know, and a kid comes up and, you know, gives you a hug, or a parent just says, thank you. Like, we didn't know how we were going to afford school supplies this year, you know, and, you know, what you've done really is helping us. But I'll never forget early on in my career, I was able to grant a make-a-wish for this young boy, and his family came out. And we, you know, when we try to grant wishes, we try to, you know, go all out, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of making it a, unforgettable experience for the kid. And I get a call from the grandma a few weeks later, and she said, hey, I just wanted to call and let you know that he passed away today. Oh. And yes, and I was, you know, I'm so sorry to hear that. And I was like, but what would make you call me, you know, to let me know, or to kind of inform me the day that it happened? And she said, because she said, you gave him an experience that let me see him smile, a smile that I haven't seen on his face for a long time. And that's how I will always be able to remember him. Oh, and wow. Like hearing things like that, you're like, okay, what we're doing is really, you know, making a difference. And sometimes you kind of forget with all the hustle and bustle, but when you have moments like that, you know, it makes what we're doing, you know, unforgettable.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. What an incredible experience, you know, for you, for him, for his family, to have, again, through the power of sports, you know, it's like, exactly. it's so much greater than the game. And we, you know, I think if you're really close to it, you understand it. But yeah, I mean, it's so powerful. And I'm sure that there's moments where, you know, as you're thinking about, you know, the next thing and the next thing that you're working on, there's these stop reflection points of that memory, and how important, you know, keeping that front of mind of how you want to create more experiences like that for other people, is always a goal.
Yeah. And I know early on in my career, I would get so upset if like something went wrong at an event or everything didn't go off, you know, perfectly. And then I tell my team today, I'm like, look, everything is not going to be perfect, but at the end of the day, like, we fed 800 families, or, you know, we did this. So I was like, you got to focus on the bigger picture sometimes and not get caught up in, you know, the little things that might go wrong along the way.
Yeah, that's a really good point too. That's a really good point. Yeah, the purpose of the event is what is the key. And of course, we want to make things go off well. But at the same time, you know, if you're still able to deliver on the main goal of that event or the opportunity, you win every time. To close it up here, what advice do you have for our listeners who are interested in growing a career path in community relations and social responsibility in our industry? I know personally that when I go to career fairs and we're trying to recruit ticket salespeople, they're like, I want to work in community relations. It's like, you know, it's like community relations and public relations are two very popular out of college paths. And it's a hard path to get into because there's not a lot of jobs. And there's, you know, people get into the path and, you know, you have this network as well. And you kind of stay in places because of that commitment you have to the work you're doing. So what is that advice that you would give for somebody who wants to go down that path and grow in community relations?
Yeah. And it's interesting. I think people want to get into CSR, into PR, because we work closely with the players. And I think that that's intriguing for a lot of people, mm-hmm. but definitely not looking for the biggest fan when we're hiring. But like I said before, it's a lifestyle, right? I'm looking for people who have a true passion for helping others and for giving back. And like, that's something that you can start from an early age in terms of volunteering, getting involved with local charities and nonprofits. You know, there's not much required to do that, you know? And so when we have to interview people and have them come in and, you know, they haven't done any of that work, then that's a red flag. You know, I'm not looking for someone who can tell me all about, you know, the game of basketball, but really what are the issues that Detroit is facing, and how can we as a basketball team make an impact in that area? Like, those are the types of questions I'm looking, you know, to have answered. And so really just having your pulse on issues that are happening with the community in which, you know, whatever role you're applying for. But like, you have to have that, you know, innate, you know, passion to want to help others, really, is how you're going to have a successful career in this field.
That's great advice. And, you know, I think that that's really important. I mean, your resume is going to be really defined by some of those action points and volunteerism that you're able to do in your community and the communities in which you want to serve. It's definitely different from, you know, sometimes these other roles in terms of your experience, but showing aspects of service are clearly important, and especially volunteering, that selfless act of work that you wanted to display as well in those moments of opportunity of growth or getting in is very clear, obviously.
Absolutely.
And that's a wrap on episode 33. Thank you to Erica for sharing her experiences and insights with all of us today. And as a thank you, our friends at Turnkey ZRG has purchased a one-year membership for her to join the Pro Sports Assembly, an industry member-led association helping advance equity in pro sports. Now, I invite you all to follow us on Instagram at Women Blazers to stay connected and to engage with the Women Blazers Network. And look forward to episode 34 featuring Allie Dickin, Director of Brand Marketing for the San Francisco 49ers of the NFL. Until next time, have a wonderful week.